which is a podcasting on jewishandcosmos.com. Meow.
Wonderful. this is Uven Levy. We're learning together, with Hashem's help, the book Gan HaShalom, or Shalom Arush, the Garden of Peace, the guide to a happy and fulfilled marriage. How times for you, married?
10.
How many years?
Shalom.
Very good. Very good. You read this book?
10.
Ah, even better.
In
English. Wow, wonderful. Tov, very good. So the Hebrew version is a little bit more comprehensive. A few more ideas, a few more detail. There's also, I don't know how your Hebrew is generally, but it's worth, when if it's already there or when it gets to that place, it's also worth reading the Hebrew version of all the books that the Rav makes. The English version, certainly for most of them, is not a direct translation. And there's a lot that's in the Hebrew version also to gain. Tov, anyway, we are on page 200. We're talking about, in this chapter, chapter 9, the importance of peace generally, the importance of having marital peace, and how it's not worth losing it for anything. There's nothing that's worthwhile losing your shalom bayit for. And the Rav in this chapter goes through a few different examples of things that you might thought it was worth losing your shalom bayit for, and shows you exactly that it was really not worth it. If you look at the what you gain, and look at what you lose, it becomes very clear that it's not worth it. Even though, obviously, we all make the mistake, because the Yetzer Hara is the Yetzer Hara. He tells you otherwise, tells us it's a really good idea right now to get upset. It's a really good idea to stand your ground on this one. It's very important, right? The Yetzer Hara makes an Aveira into a mitzvah. He tells you, no, this is really important. You need to put your foot down. It's important for your... Right, it becomes the most important thing in the world. If you don't put your foot down now, Mashiach can't come this afternoon. This is what's going to bring Mashiach. This is what's going to clean everything. Right? Such high ideals the Yetzer Hara has to paint in a person's head, to make sure that they stumble. So, in this section that we're in the middle of right now, we're talking about the fact that Hashem can test the man in various ways. The particular way we're talking about now is that often happens, Hashem creates the world, that the wife doesn't get on with the parents of the husband. Can happen, such a thing exists. It's very common. That puts the husband in a very difficult position. They're my parents. I have to respect them. Respect them. I have to love them, have to take care of them, have to do everything for them. Right? Depends on the individual person as well, how they grew up in their home. One of many, they were only son, they were the bachor, they were the oldest one who always... Everyone has a position from where they're coming from. And everyone can get it very wrong. I got it very wrong, I'm happy to share. It's always good to share stories, particularly personal ones. I can tell you that my very first Pesach, as a married man, my parents lived in a city about 3 hours away, 3 hours drive. That very first Pesach, I drove back up to my parents' home to help them switch over their kitchen, like I'd done every year for the last 20 years before them. Leaving my wife at home to deal with my own home, so that I could go and help my parents. And it was like a no-brainer. I didn't even stop to think, like, this is not appropriate. This is not what... Right? So, Baruch Hashem, since then, I've also read, gone to peace and learned that the wife and Shalom Bayit comes above everything. Even one's parents. At the beginning of this section, Rav Arush writes that there's no greater respect, greater honor, way to honor your parents than to have Shalom Bayit. That gives your parents greater honor, even if they personally will prefer that you come and clean their kitchen for them. That's their lower self. Their higher self is very happy that you told them no, and that you're staying with your wife. So, in the second paragraph on this page, he writes as follows. Ulam im ha'baal lo yifal, al pi haklal. However, if the husband doesn't act according to this principle, Hagadol Haklav. Shegadol Hu Hashalom. The great, so great is peace. V'yasimet Kavodo Hapagua. And he puts his own hurt on her, right? That his wife doesn't want to spend time with his parents, that his wife is complaining about his mother, etc. Et regashotav lahorav, puts aside his feelings for his parents for a moment. Et chushat tzedek, the feeling of righteousness, justice. Or al kol davar acher lifnei shalom bayit, and puts all of these aside for the sake of shalom bayit. Azai hu yafsid et hakol. Then he stands to lose everything. Henet shalom bayit, henet kavod horav. He will lose not only shalom bayit, he'll also end up losing the kavod for his parents too. Rabbi Aris explains why. Ki zeh barur, because it's clear. Shelohorim yesevel gadol ma'od. Because parents suffer a lot when they see that their children are suffering in shalom bayit. Chas v'shalom, most of us around here, I'm looking around, probably don't have children yet who are grown up and being married, don't know. But I'm taking the Rav's word for it, that to see your children having shalom bayit problems is terrible for a parent to see that.
Well, what's hard for us is that Alex and Joel have been married for a year and a half now, and they're really looking forward to having children. And
so here we're talking about shalom bayit as opposed to other difficulties. But I hear. Okay. V'kasher hem shomim sheyesh levnam eizam uriva imishto. And when they hear that their son has an argument with his wife, yesh lahem tzar gadol, they have great upset. It doesn't comfort them at all to know that the argument is about them. On account of the fact that that their son is trying to defend their honor. Because parents who have a brain in their head, they prefer that their children, their son, does not argue on their own account, on account of them. Behem mochalim al kavodam, and they will forgive their own honor. They will waive their honor. Uvilvad shelo yawivu b'nei hazug, only so that the couple don't fight. Ela yichrilu b'shamra, that they should live in peace. That is the case with parents who have, in the words of the Rav, moach b'kad kadam. But it has to be said that there are parents who don't fall within that category. And there are parents who, for whatever reason, the way they were created, the experiences in life they had, their own upbringing, who are very makpid, and they frankly don't really care so much about the shalom bayit of the couple. What's more important for them is their own honor. It happens. Selfish parents, such a thing exists. We have to watch ourselves that we're not also going to be in that category. That's for sure. Right? And for them, such a parent, so even more so that the child shouldn't destroy his own shalom bayit to try and fulfill the unreasonable expectations of such a parent. Lachen, Adam shemafsid et shalom bayit, b'shvil kavod horav. Therefore, a person who loses his shalom bayit on account of the fact that he's trying to defend the honor of his parents, the maser hu poger b'chvodam harbe yoter. In practice, it turns out he damages their kavod much more. Mechamet she'ikar kibud av ve'em hu shelo yagi lahem shum tzar mimenu. Because in reality, the main thing of kibud avdeem, of honoring one's parents, is that he doesn't cause them upset from him. Vadraba, and on the contrary, yelahem rak nachat ruach mimenu. On the contrary, they should only have nachat ruach. Nachat ruach. Comfort and joy from him. Where are we? Okay. Kamuvah from the Gemara. Like it's four in the Gemara. In Masechet Yoma. Shekashe Adam in the Heg, the Midot Tovot. That when a man acts with good Midot, with good traits, as I en kavod gadol mizeh lehoriv, then there's no greater honor for his parents than that. Kasher chas v'shalom ein no mitnaheg kach, and when he doesn't act that way, ein b'zayon gadol mizeh lehoriv. There's no greater disgrace for them at all. Right? It's brought in the laws concerning an avel when a person is mourning the loss of their parents. So there's different things that a son can do to. That's a benefit to the soul of his departed parents. So one of them is that he can become the prayer leader in the synagogue. And some various other things. But it's brought over there, certainly in the poskim, that writes that if someone else wants to be prayer leader, and you have a chiyuv because you have a parent that recently deceased in the last 12 months, and you want to lead, it's better, much better not to fight and to argue about it, because far greater are midot than saying Kaddish or being leading the service, right? They get a lot more benefit, there's a lot more cover for the parents that the child is acting in a good way, and that's far more important than leading a service, saying Kaddish, saying Mishnayot, whatever. The way the child acts is a far more benefit to the deceased parent's soul. So too here. Although it looks like I'm honouring my parents by coming to them for whatever it is, Rosh Hashanah, Seder night, whatever it is. If it's not good for my Shalom Bayit, then much better that I have Shalom Bayit. They're going to get a lot more benefit from that than they are if I turn up by myself or with my wife, but she sits there in the corner glowering the whole evening. Right? It's not help. And really, it's up to the man to work out the correct balance, the correct reckoning in his actions, weighing it up with intelligence. Because a wife is completely emotion. She's all emotion. And if she has suffering, so to speak, from her mother-in-law, or something like that, she's not able to make any accounting or reckoning from a place of intelligence. Because her emotions are what controlling her. Therefore, the husband needs to consider that this is the most important kavod for his parents. That they won't hear from him any suffering or any complaints. Rather, they will only know from him that everything is good and quiet in his home. And if he stands up for their honor, and it comes to them the knowledge that he doesn't have Shalom Bayit, he causes them to suffer. And it turns out he loses the gain. A very difficult area in practice, and one in which each person needs to go through their own cheshbonot to work out what the best thing to do is. When you're trying to stand as the middleman between both sides and you want to make both sides happy, it's not easy. Sometimes you can't make both sides happy, you just can't. There's not one single answer. They want X, she wants Y. There's no way of reconciling. So sometimes there are tough decisions you have to make. Primary goal is to ensure Shalom Bayit at all costs. If you can make the parents happy and keep your Shalom Bayit, you're free, wonderful. But if you can't, then it's a test. It's a test from heaven. The wife has to come first.
You're dealing with your children's shalom bayit, your married children's shalom bayit, or your parents' shalom bayit.
Either way. If either one impacts on your personal shalom bayit, your personal shalom bayit overrides any other consideration.
What gives you the right to interfere?
It doesn't. Your
so
personal shalom bayit.
Quiet and let them struggle with.
Who? Who's they?
Whoever it is that has the problem.
Your wife has the problem. We're talking about your wife has the problem.
With you?
No, with your parents. In this case, the case he brings here is that your wife has a problem with your parents. And you're in the middle. Now what do you do?
Take her on a nice vacation.
Take yourself on a nice vacation. So the answer here is that it's very difficult, but the wife has to be primary. Even if it's illogical, even if it's irrational, she gets very emotional. My parents are wonderful. I have a problem. I do have a problem. My problem is I can see no wrong in my parents. It's a very good thing, but it's also problematic. I can see no wrong in my parents. An outsider, including my wife, sees all the problems. Right? They're lunatics. My parents are lunatics. They treat me really badly. They tell me what to do. They don't give me any space. They don't, right? And I bend over backwards and do whatever they want when they want. They say jump, I say how high. I can't see any of that. They're wonderful. What? Why? Because that's what I grew up with. Apart from many reasons, psychologically, socially, why I can never see anyone in my parents. Right? They are father figures, God figures. They're whoever. They brought me up. I've got respect. I can never see anything more. My wife can. She sees it very well. Not only because she's an outsider, so she's not like part of the cult, right? But because also she cares about me. And because she cares about me, she sees that actually then this relationship's not very healthy for me. It's not helping me. I'm not happy with it. And plus Hashem is also going to use this as a big testing ground. So all those things together mean that this is going to be a very, very difficult area. Very difficult area. Tov. Next. Muvah b'halacha. It's brought in halacha. Sheyesh kama nashim. Shehazaktan son ot zoet zo. So it's brought in halacha that there is a law. There's spiritual law. A spiritual chazakah. A spiritual presumption. As a presumption, just like you have a legal presumption, right? A legal presumption is ownership is 9/10 of the law, right? Whoever owns it, they get to keep it unless you can show otherwise. It's called a chazakah in Hebrew, a chazakah. In English, we'd say a presumption, legal presumption. So, anyway, so there's different ways of these things arise. So, there is in halakha a presumption that women. Certain women hate one another. Certain women hate one another. It's inbuilt default position. It's not always the case, but it's the default. It's a chazakah, it's a presumption. You can show otherwise, but without showing otherwise, it's the starting point. What's that? Amongst them are the following. Hakala v'chamota, the wife and the mother-in-law. Brought in halakha, it's not just in mother-in-law jokes, it's brought in halakha. Right? There's a legal presumption that they hate each other. Hakala v'achot ba'ala. The wife and the sisters of the husband. They hate each other. There's a rivalry. There's a... Not always. Doesn't have to be. And if you've got a distant situation, that's okay too. But there's a legal presumption. Why? The truth is, this comes out in terms of... I don't know. I haven't looked it up. But from what we were learning today, I think it may come out in terms of legal cases. You're not allowed to have a claim... Again, and be a witness against someone that you hate. So you can't have a mother-in-law witnessing against the wife, because there's a legal presumption that they hate each other, so they can't be against as witnesses in the court. But because of that, nonetheless, we have this existence of a presumption here. Achen al pirov, Therefore, in the majority of cases, when a wife has a claim against one of those, right, against the sister or the mother of the husband, Ela Shom Shlita Azeh, she's got no control over it. Blavala Lonota Ela Lamon Let Sadishto. And the husband has no choice but to simply stand on her side, on his wife's side. Lishtadel Lesalvech Laniach Edatan Beeza Ofenshia. And to try to mediate and to give her, to calm her mind in any way he can, right? What's he saying here? We haven't finished it, but he's just introducing the idea here. Say that the wife has no choice. You can't reason with your wife in such a situation. There's a legal presumption, which means there's an inbuilt creation into woman that she is going to dislike. So it's not conscious choice. It's already in there. It's built in. So the husband just has to do his best. He can't try and bring the two sides together and expect that they'll actually get to like each other once they get to know each other a bit better. It can happen. It's not that it can't happen. We shouldn't expect it. Aval ka'asher bal eino omed me'achorei ishto. But when a husband does not stand behind his wife, eino magver ota, he doesn't defend her, but eino mevin liba, and he doesn't understand where she's coming from. Ella adraba, rather on the contrary, yotsehu lahaganat imo or achotah. Rather, instead, he goes out of his way to defend his mother or his sisters. Hu noheg b'tipshut gadola, he's acting with great stupidity. Hu mechin la'atzmo tzara tzurura, he is preparing for himself great sorrow. Shehu lo chalam alea, that he could never even dream about. Ki hu gorem l'ishto tzara amok, she'ein l'sha'er, because he causes his wife a deep sorrow that you cannot measure. And now, after this happens, there's nothing in the world that's gonna convince her, subdue her, to live in peace with them. And also to the husband that cheated, was deceitful against her, meaning he went with the parents instead of her. Nirela kumoha satanat mo, also looks like the satan himself. The husband is going to get it in the neck. He's not going to be able to make peace if he sides with the parents or the sister. And not only is she going to hate them even more, she's also going to hate her husband too, because he sided with them against her. Such is the nature of the woman, and it's not her fault. Hashem created her that way in order to give us a big test. The whole test of marriage is to work on our midot. Hashem has to create a situation whereby we're really going to have to struggle, we're really going to have to work. Therefore, he creates in our wife an inbuilt problem with my mother. Inbuilt. That is what you're going to have to face when you go into marriage, in order that I have to face that test. If not, they might get, and they get on fine, and everyone's happy family. So what's the test? Very easy to be husband. Thank you very much. I'll have another one. Right? But that's not our job.
Are all of them made the same way, that they're made to, like, I don't know, to have something going on with the husband's mother?
They're not. He's saying that there's a chazaka. There's a legal presumption that that's going to be the case. It doesn't have to be the case, but there's a presumption that that will be the case. That there's an instinctive, if you want to use the word instinctive, it sounds a bit godless, but there's an instinctive dislike, an inbuilt dislike.
For the husband's mother.
For the husband's mother and his sisters.
And his sisters.
Right? You could say it from different ways. If you want to look at it sociologically, you could say maybe there's a rivalry. But whatever way you want to look at it, Hashem made it that way. Dafka, so that I have to work hard to deal with the problem. And it's better to be aware of the problem than to know what my options are and what my consequences are, depending on how I jump. Could go this way or that way. Without this book, without Rav Arush teaching me what to do, I have no clue what to do in that situation. Like I told you, in my situation, I went up to my parents, I keep my parents happy. Why not? My wife's okay, I'm sure I can make her happy. It's very easy to keep, it's much easier, I think, wrongly, it's much easier, I might make the cheshbon, think it's much easier to keep my wife happy than it is to keep my parents happy. Right? They're a bit of more of a struggle. So, Tov, I'm going to bend over backwards. Tov, I'll sort my wife out, I'll buy some flowers, I'll be nice to her, we'll go out to a restaurant, right, and everything will be okay. Wrong. And the truth is, I'm trying my best. It's not like I'm deliberately trying to hurt anyone here. But I just don't have the correct knowledge, the correct information. The correct information is, what does God want me to do right now? If I do what God wants me to do, I don't have to worry about it. Even if it looks like the worst thing in the world. What does Hashem want from me right now? That's the question I need to ask on everything. On everything. What does Hashem want right now? The truth is, after reading this book, a husband learns that Hashem wants me to honor my wife above everything else. A husband and a wife coming together is a rectification of the world. Right? It's the Hashem and the Shekhinah. It's Am Yisrael and Galut coming back. It's the essence that everything else is secondary to. It's the main thing in life. And that comes first. If I put that first, then I can never fail. Even if it looks like I lose the battle, I win the war. Right? I lose in the short run. But I have to often, the way of us working on our midot in Judaism is that a person has to give up short-term gain for long-term goal. And so too here, right? So too here. The long term, the main thing is always shalom bayit. Tov, up until here today. Thank you very much.